The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memories of Chris Tsangreads, Mikio Fujioka, Paul Antigonani, and Fast Eddie Clark.
Hello, this is Dave Overkill from the band Destructor, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal right now.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a destructive episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 489. And I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron. And listeners, this episode is brought to you by Trocaldabai.
Arise from the depths of the northern darkness and thaw your frostbitten goblet with the purest, most brutal cup of coffee you've ever had. Trocaldabai.
Trocaldabai coffee is a fresh medium roast made from high quality Arabica beans hailing from the land of El Salvador. I wonder if that is like next to like El... Nah, nothing. Sorry, I blew my own joke. Anyway, it is perfect for any time of day, anywhere, and even during sacrificial rituals. So, Snowy, I know you've been drinking the Trocaldabai. This is
two or three weeks
with it. How are you digging the Trocaldabai?
Oh, it's been amazing. Yeah, it's been amazing so far. As a matter of fact, we tore through the bag something fierce, Mrs. White and I, and it's like, okay, that's enough. I want to save it for a special occasion. And unfortunately, tonight is not that special occasion. I will get into it a little while later. But we're loving this. We're loving this product, and we had a kick-ass creature feature about it last episode. So everyone, go back and check it out. Yeah.
Yep. If you want to know all the origins of Trocaldabai coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Snowy, you don't have to save it for later. You know why?
Why is that?
Because for our listeners who want to try Trocaldabai coffee and they're not sure if they can handle the darkest, most metal cup of coffee they've ever had, they can enter the code RADMETAL666 at TrocaldabaiCoffee.com. But so our listeners go to TrveKvltCoffee.com, enter in the code RADMETAL666, and they will get 6.66% off one bag of coffee. Snowy, you can too.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Right on.
All right, and also check them out at TrveKvltCoffee for Facebook and Twitter, and on the Instagram, which is where I interact with Coffee Bean Occulta the most. TRVE.KVLT coffee for Instagram. So that's TRVE.KVLT.coffee for Instagram.
Wow.
And so I got to bring this up because I was just talking with Coffee Bean Occulta over the Insta pages lately. Mm-hmm. And posted a picture of my guitar that I was playing, waiting for the, for, you know, all of us to get together, getting a little practice time in. He's like, hey, next time you want to say the M word, why don't you just play a riff instead? I'm like, oh. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. So it's always nice. Like not only does he sponsor the show, but he's a listener, right?
Mm-hmm, and that's, yes.
So on to other things. So Snowy, I noticed something today. I noticed you're struggling with some of the names at the top of the show, you know, because we had a lot of dedications. It's been a rough week for Rock.
It definitely has. Yeah.
And I don't like to correct you, but it's Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. 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 It's
not Clark. Yeah, it's Clark.
It's Clark, not Clark, but it's Clark. Clark. Yeah. All right. You're okay with it now?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to work on that because I was kind of equating it. Is it Bobby Clark, the hockey player, or is it Clark Griswold from the Vacation movies? I wasn't too sure at all, but yeah.
Yeah. So, dude, God bless you for having to say those names, because my goodness gracious, when I was looking at the list, I'm like, I don't know how to pronounce any of those.
Including Clark. That's a heck of a thing.
Well, it's something that has to be done. I've often said on the show, the only thing that I don't like doing about the show is when we have to announce that we've lost some of our, you know, some of our fallen comrades. And it's been a rough week in terms of that. Mm-hmm. And all that. And that's something we're going to get to a little later and pay tribute to. But in the meantime, if everyone's doing well, it's
can I talk about something real quick?
Absolutely.
I had a hell of a night last night.
Okay.
I know it's Radioactive Metal, but I got to talk about this. I went to Major League Wrestling yesterday.
Oh,
Major League Wrestling? Did they run the bases for that one?
You would think. But
why do we let him on?
I don't know. I just keep showing up.
Where's the girl? Come on.
Yeah, we lost
right
her somewhere.
Right here, Snowy.
Oh God! Hey. No, they were recording their Zero Hour special, and I went there, and, I just want to talk real quick about a couple of things. When we got there, I went and saw Brody King was there again. He was wrestling again.
All right.
He's the lead singer of God's Hate for people who don't know, but he's also a professional wrestler. So I went straight to him because last month when he came, I bought the CD for God's Hate, their latest release. So I wanted to tell him how much I liked it and stuff. And I wasn't expecting him to even recognize me, you know, or even remember that talking to me. So I go up to him and I'm extending my hand, you know, to shake his hand. And I go, hey, Brody, how's it going? And he looks at me and he's like, hey, man, it's nice to see you again. I went, oh, okay. That's cool. So I said, man, I really love the CD. It's really cool shit. You know, you guys get a good job on it. He's like, yeah, man. And he says, it was a lot of work, but, you know, we love the result and how it came out. And so we chit-chatted a little bit, and he's probably going to be coming on the show sometime soon. You know, we just need to nail down a date and time, you know, to get him on. So, but can't wait to actually talk to him about metal, you know, not just talking
everything.
About
yeah, yeah. Me. Yeah. I want to talk to him. Me. Pick me.
And,
the reason why he would remember you is it's like he gets, you know, he gets inundated with just, he's got to talk to all these 30-year-old virgins and all that, every fucking card, you know, they're all, you know, but you show up and you want to talk, you know, metal, you want to talk about his band, and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, okay, this guy's fucking cool, this guy's kissed a girl, you know.
Also, I ran into Rich Bocchini, he's the play-by-play guy. Who does some of the commentary, you know, on the mm-hmm. once the show airs, and he's also a metalhead and he's our age, so I've been kind of DM'd him a couple times, you know, to kind of gauge if he would like to come on the show and talk about, you know, growing up listening to metal in our era, growing up listening to Metallica. And again, I saw him. I said, "Hey, Rich, you know," I shook his hand. And he looks at me. He's like, "We've DM'd on Twitter, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's my first time talking to him. And he goes, I said, "How did you recognize me? How did you know it was me?" He says, "Oh," he says, "I recognize you from your pictures." Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say it all the time. Everybody loves rock. It's sickening.
Yeah, I know. So yeah. So,
no, that's fantastic. Right on, dude.
Yeah. So he's another dude. Eventually, we'll get on the show and talk metal and talk about growing up being a metalhead and, you know, and how he went through, you know, puberty listening to metal, you know, just like us. And also, this is not metal related, but I also got to meet Penta Cero Miedo. Miedo, I think. The former Pentagon Jr. from Lucha Underground.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah. Oh, man. Super nice guy. But okay, that was all I wanted to share before my metal fix, because it's not really metal. So.
Okay. Well, then, if everyone is doing well, everyone's shoveled out. I know everyone on the East Coast is... Excuse me. Everyone is like, it's so cold. It's winter time here. Everyone's dying. All that. Oh, fuck. Everyone's doing all right.
60 degrees here. Oh, dude. It's like up to 70 today, I think.
It was 80 here today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is.
Tomorrow's
going to
be 60.
It's 40 fucking below up here. Okay. But that's still not going to stop me from going out just to see some tech death band that I never even heard of until they announced. Oh no, the Minneapolis tech death band Sunless is in town tomorrow night, and I never even heard of this band until they announced the show and all that. And I checked out a couple songs on Facebook. Okay, fine, they sound good, but now I'm thinking, I'm going out in 40 below weather to see a band like I know nothing about on the other side of town. Okay. This is measuring stick material right here. Okay. I'm throwing it down for everyone. I don't want to hear any excuses from anyone about how they weren't able to go to a show because they had a little bit of snow, or I don't want to hear how it was cold or it rained, or, and not just a show, but, you know, I couldn't go out to the movies, I couldn't go to the game, I couldn't do this because of a little inclement weather, because hey, snow is throwing it down again.
Snowy, I gotta put this in perspective for you. So you have to understand, we're not prepared for the snow. It'd be like if Winnipeg all of a sudden got sunshine. You guys wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, dude. Right? You have no idea.
The town would shut down. Nobody knows what to do.
You have no idea what Winnipeg summers are fucking
like. It does get hot up there.
Yes. Oh, my God.
But, Aaron.
Like 65?
I don't know what that is, but I'm talking plus 40 Celsius. It gets.
Oh, geez. Aaron, that's like over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We are a hardy bunch. We are a hardy bunch up here. No one can take us out when it comes to this, man. No one.
Well, you know, Aaron, you know, he just laid down the gauntlet for us. You know what? I think we just need to quit. You know, there's no way we can compete with Snowy. All right, Radioactive Metal's over. This is the last episode. Sorry, there won't be a 500. See you later.
Almost made it.
It's all ruined. Okay, but enough of this. Let's get on with tonight's metal fix.
It's time for the metal fix. My naughty bits are tingling with excitement.
Okay, who's got what about who, and who did what to whom?
Well,
you always crack me up when you say that.
None of those are rehearsed, and none of them make sense. I just say whatever it just...
whatever pops out.
Yeah, I just let her go. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to be forewarned, in honor of Fast Eddie Clark tonight, I am, even though I'm not going anywhere tonight, I am sucking back the Lemmys in my Motorhead mug, just for Mr. Clark tonight.
I just wanted to ask Aaron, so what's your Metallica metal fix is tonight?
Oh, fuck.
it has nothing to do with the M word.
No.
Yeah, I'm proud. I listened to Enter Sandman all day today. That's what I do.
You realize how many shows we have gone with mentioning the N-word? I don't even have to say it now. You guys are doing it for me. This is great.
I do it all to aggravate Snowy.
It's a good time.
Of course. Snowy's got it coming. I got all the shit you guys throw at me. Trust me, I have it coming. And that's Mrs. White will back me up on that.
That's true.
So speak, man. Let's hear some metal.
Tell you what, I'll kick it off. So I want to give a shout out first to my buddy Dave. I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this, but I used to talk about it on my podcast all the time. Where I used to live in Pennsylvania, there was a music store only a few miles from me. He just kind of popped up out of nowhere, started as a used store. It was called Sloan's Guitar Emporium. Fantastic music store. You guys ever remember me talking about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like best used gear you're going to find anywhere. I got so many pedals from the guy's name was Dave that owned it. Love going and talking to that guy. And you know, had I not moved, I would probably, you know, start working there a couple nights a week just to help him out, just because I loved hanging out there. Mm-hmm. So just recently, he sent me a Facebook message. He's like, hey, and I can talk about it now, but at the time I couldn't. He has cancer. And so he's like, yeah, I've been sick and all this stuff's been going on, like, you know, stuff with his longtime girlfriend and just all these things. He's like, I went in, and so he ended up closing down the store, you know, shutting everything down. And this morning I wake up to a picture and it's three IVs and the units that measure out the medicine, and they're all digital. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this picture is like the most depressing picture I've seen. But I say this not to bring people down, but to show you how people can still have a sense of humor even going through this sort of stuff. The picture comes with this caption. Dave opens up. He's like, there's no beer in any of these. It sucks. And then he's like, but I got to do it. It's like an HM2, Snowy, that's the pedal I always talk about, with a broken knob into a Gorilla 35 watt. For anyone who doesn't know what a Gorilla amp is, it is the shittiest amplifier that Sears and Roebuck catalogs ever sold. There is no way you can make one of those things sound good unless you're burning it. As I'm reading this, I am cracking up, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to share this with, you know, with our listeners, because I know there's going to be some other people, you know, who had the Gorilla amp experience, you know, because if you were a young guitarist anywhere between the 80s and early 90s, you've had the Gorilla amp experience. And I'm just like, I wrote him back. I'm like, dude, it's good. I'm glad you're in good spirits, you know?
You gotta be.
Yeah, so shout out to Dave, man. Yes. I hope he keeps fighting it and fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. But my official metal fix, I was telling you guys, I was reading the Ramones books. So I started by reading Johnny Ramone's Commando. I think it was called Commando, his autobiography. And then I was just finished up last night, Marky Ramone's autobiography. I want to say it was Punk Rock, Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone.
Okay.
And so I recommend that anybody read those books in that order, because they're in chronological order. And I remember reading Johnny's. I'm like, man, he's just kind of rough. Like, he's like a stereotypical just rough New Yorker with some of the things he was saying, like just the things he'd say about Joey and the other band members. And something I didn't realize, and maybe Snowy, you knew this, because I know you're a Ramones fan, Mark Rock. I don't know, you know, how much you were aware, but Joey and Johnny literally didn't speak to each other for probably 15 of the 20 some years the band was together.
Wow.
Okay. Like,
in the same band, never spoke to each other. They passed notes back and forth or had somebody go between them.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, like it was that bad. Like, they just couldn't, you know, talk to each other. And the thing is, like, where it came from is Johnny didn't have a lot of tolerance for Joey. He's like, Joey is so weird. I don't know what it was, you know, but he was always doing weird stuff. And he didn't really go into depth. Well, in Marky's book, Marky kind of came out to, like, I think his book is more like a, hey, I want to shed some light on all this stuff.
Okay.
And so Joey suffered from OCD, like bad OCD. Like, if anybody's ever seen the TV show Monk, and the guy's walking along has to touch like every single lamppost, that was Joey.
Oh, wow.
Like, to get him out of his apartment to go to a gig, he would have to come downstairs, go back upstairs, come back downstairs, go back upstairs. And this could, like, it, they said it could take sometimes almost an hour and a half to get him downstairs into the van.
Jeez.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, and dude, this went on for the entire length of the band. And so, you know how, like, Joey was always known for just planting himself in one spot on stage? Mm-hmm. That's because the OCD couldn't move.
Oh,
like,
wow.
He was, like, terrified of people, so he just planted himself and couldn't move. And so, like, the stories that Marky is sharing, I'm like, oh, my goodness, that sheds so much light onto things, you know? Because I remember when Joey died. Like, Joey died 2001, right before all the 9/11 stuff happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being heartbroken. And then, like, it was literally, I think it was the next year, they get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I remember, you know, reading articles with Joey, and just Joey was such a fan of rock and roll. And especially like the old 60s rock and roll. And so I'm like, man, he would have loved this. Well, so something else I didn't know, and I don't know if you guys knew, but so during this, Marky is probably the only one who kept in touch with literally everybody from the band, even after the band broke up. So he's always calling everybody, visiting, all that sort of stuff. And he tells the story 4 weeks. No, not 4 weeks, but I think it was December 31st, 2000. Joey's leaving his apartment, slips on the ice, busts his hip. And this is when he was doing the lymphoma treatment. So his bones were already weakened from all the chemotherapy.
Yeah.
So he busts his hip. Now here's the kicker. This guy, you know, first of all, he has the OCD, so he's already having all kinds of struggles. And apparently that led to a lot of hygiene problems too. Like, he didn't shower well and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's laying in the slush in New York City for, I want to say, like an hour or so, until somebody finally, because people kept passing him by, like two or three people just stepped over him, yeah, until it finally, like a beat cop came and found him and got him to the hospital.
Holy shit.
I think that was the last time he entered the hospital, and then he never came out.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
What the fuck is wrong with people? You know what I mean?
Well, like, New York.
Just, it's shit like that it just makes me just, and never mind like who it is, just anyone you see in distress like that. Isn't it reflex to lend a helping hand? Like,
not New York.
It just breaks my heart, because it's like, poor Joey, like, that's how he goes out. And not even getting to get the honor, because that guy just would have been, he would have been so thrilled to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
probably,
you know?
Yeah.
And it was such a bummer. But both books are a fantastic read. Definitely read Johnny's first, and then Marky's book will give you a completely different perspective on everybody.
Now, Marky's the only one who's still alive, right? He's the drummer, but he was like a replacement drummer.
Yeah, he was the second drummer, but then he was also the third or fourth drummer.
Okay.
Possibly, no, not the third, but the fourth or fifth. So and he talks about this in the book too, and I was really, I like the way that he treated it, because he starts telling the stories from his point of view while he was going through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he gets in 78, because I had no idea he played with Richard Hell and the Voidoids. He was on the Blank Generation album.
Wow.
Oh yeah, like his street cred as a punk is insane. So he's he gets the gig around 78. Tommy, the original drummer, helps get him the gig, and then going good for a while. Well, then his drinking really, really flares up, and he's in the studio just causing a ruckus. And he's writing about it like it's no big deal. But then and I don't want to give away too much, because he tells some great stories that are horrific. But he was very lucky. And so then he gets his drinking under control, and they had another drummer, and the drummer tried to give him an ultimatum, and they just let that drummer go, call Marky back up, like, hey, we hear that you're clean now and everything's going well. Come on down, let's play. And that was it. He was back in, and, you know, played to the end.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Oof. This sounds like these are books that definitely any Ramones fan should be getting a hold of soon.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, like, they're an easy read. Like, I think I started reading Marky's book somewhere right around Christmas. I just finish it up. I read a little bit every night. You know, and they're interesting as heck. Like, Marky, I had no idea the musical history he had in New York City. And it's fun to read Johnny's first and then Marky's book, because Johnny it blows my mind. Johnny looked at being in a band like going to work at a factory. You know, like
business.
Yeah, it was completely business to him. But then, like, Marky is the complete opposite, where everything is like, oh, we got to see this, we got to see that, and the music, and we go here, and the fan, just completely enamored with everything that was going on, you know?
That's crazy.
I think that's the way I would be.
I'm with you.
Well, you know, maybe Johnny at first he was like maybe excited, but after all these years of touring, maybe he was just over it after a while.
Not according to the book. Not according to what he was writing in the book. Like from the get go, and I mean, because he's talking about when they start up, and I'm like, really? That was your thought? Like, and I hate to say it, but it worked, because I mean, I also didn't realize that Johnny was really the business driver behind the Ramones. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like his approach worked. I don't think it would ever work twice, but, you know, son of a gun, it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. But I recommend both books. They're both good. Mm. And I am out on Goodreads along with Corrine. So, you know, you can find either one of us for any listeners that want to check that stuff out and see the books that we're reading. But yeah, that's my metal fix this week.
All right on. Cool. Right on. Awesome. Yeah. I got to check those out myself.
Goodreads, that's an Amazon thing, right?
So I don't think it ties into your Kindle, but I think it's a separate site still, because it's not just everything. I mean, like the Kindle book, Kindle apps and the Kindle devices tie directly to Goodreads. And the cool thing about it is, like, it's not really a bookstore as much as just a way to track and discover stuff. So then the more I read, the more they suggest things. And like, I was following Corrine today. In her queue to read, she has Dave Mustaine's book. There's, I want to say it's True Black Metal, something like that, but they don't spell true right. They spell with a U. And then, exactly. I'm like, really? Come on. Everyone knows it's a V. But, and then there's something else. I'm like, oh, I think I want to read these too. Does Nergal have a book? Ooh. I think there's a book on Nergal in her list. Nergal?
I'm sure. Whatever.
Oh, Nergal. Right. Oh, Nergal.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here I am giving Snowy crap for the way he said Clark. I mean, really.
We all have our names that we can't pronounce.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, I'm infamous for that. Oh, my God.
Do you have anything else, Aaron?
No, really, that's it.
Okay. Well, Snowy, you want to go next, or do you want me to go next?
No, you know what? I'll take up the mantle here right now, because I really didn't have, you know, the year is just kicking in. You know, like the year doesn't officially start in Snowy's world until he goes to his first show, which isn't until as we speak tomorrow, so I'm really not going to have much in the way of a metal fix here, but I am really excited about the new Iron Reagan Gate Creeper split will be available March 2nd off a Relapse, and already a couple tracks, Paper Shredder from Reagan and Gate Creeper's War Has Begun, are making the rounds on the interwebs. I've been really digging that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the grindcore band Just Plain Old Dead, D-E-A-D. They've actually been around for quite a while. Their latest record, A Dirty Mind, is a joy forever. Horns to that. I was definitely cranking that today. The new Phobia, Lifeless God, I've been cranking that this week. Just this morning before I had to get up and, you know, face the 40 blow weather, I found myself, it was still kind of early in the morning, about 8 o'clock, I found myself in my Star Wars PJs, kind of relaxed with a hot cup of coffee, and cranking the new Watain record, Trident Wolf Eclipse. That's what you wake the neighbors with. That's always a good time. Nothing wrong with a little black metal early Friday morning in your Star Wars PJs. I love it.
You're killing me.
Well, Hey, well, welcome to Snowy's world like this.
And yeah, what a world it is.
Oh, jeez, yeah. And a couple podcasts as well. Into the Combine, I've been really digging that. It's a show I've talked about him on this show before, and very similar to us. They have their topics, and they have their interviews and all that. The last couple episodes has been their best of 2017, where they've counted down their favorite records, and they've had two interviews. One with Spirit Adrift, which is the side project of Nate Garrett from Gatecreeper, but they do this really, but Spirit Adrift is this really cool modern doom band where I really think that this show has kind of slept on this band and this record this past year. I think it was Disciple Magazine's number one record of the year. And you know, like, I think this is probably a band. You two like the doom and all that. I know, Rock, you do, and Aaron, you've kind of been on it. I want you guys to check out the new Spirit Adrift record. I think you guys might
writing it down. Spirit Adrift.
Yeah. And they also dropped an interview with Riley, the vocalist from Power Trip, who are going to be here in May. And the exciting thing about that is it's the day before my birthday. Power Trip are going to be in town. And Mrs. White and my beautiful daughter, they're not into the brutal loud thrash and all that. But, you know, sometimes you gotta make your way out, like when, I don't know, birthdays? So when they announced this show, I was immediately on the horn with both of them and said, ha! Don't make any plans. Guess what you guys are doing? you guys are going to Power Trip with me. You're going to like it, damn it. Yeah. And while you're checking that out, check out the 100 Words or Less podcast. They had an interview, a recent episode with backtrack guitarist Ricky Singh, which kind of inspired me to crank the new backtrack record, Bad to My World. That's a great fucking band. I've been digging them for a while. And I see these other podcasts, and we do great. We have these legendary artists. We have artists on this show that other shows would be envious of. But then I see some other podcasts, and it's like, ah, fuck. You guys had him on. Yes. Mm-hmm. And who did we have? Scorpions. Testament. Okay, those are all good bands, but man, you guys had Backtrack on.
Who?
No, I'm just busting balls here. But they just great episodes. Go and check them out. Sorry. Not much of a metal fix for me this week. Doing other things. Sorry.
Understandable.
Yeah. What about you, dude?
I don't have much either. I was telling you guys off air how crazy my work has been lately this week. And so the only two things that stand out that I, you know, of course I listen to music while I'm at work, but I listen also to a lot of podcasts, of course. And the two that stand out is I listened to an older episode of the Josta show, and he had Alex Skolnick on, the lead guitarist of Testament. But actually, this is probably an interview that you would like, Aaron, because Alex Skolnick is very much a music scholar. And when he left Testament at some point, he went to go play jazz and stuff like that. So
yeah, in New York City.
Yeah. So
yeah, that was a big deal when it happened, because nobody could believe. They're like, "What's this guy doing?"
Yeah, exactly. So they talk about that. They talk about his return to Testament, but they just talk about life in general. At one point, you know, so you know, just as good for that kind of stuff. You know, just shooting the shit, and I guess that's why his show is so popular. You know, but and then the other thing I listened to Talk is Jericho. His latest episode, which was not with a member of Metallica. It was with Bruce Dickinson.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Bruce has his new book that's out, so that's why he had him on. And that's another one that, Aaron, I think you're going to want to listen to, because they talk about all sorts of crazy stuff, like the time when he was out of Iron Maiden and he was flying planes and stuff and, you know, winding up in Russian airspace and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he was just flying a commercial plane, but he was asked if you were going from here to here and this is the route you take. You know, he's like, okay, and stuff, you know. But he talks also about, you know, playing in other countries with Iron Maiden and how he got back in Iron Maiden too, which was really interesting. I don't even know if the story is really out there. It's in the book, he said, but basically he felt like his guitar player in his solo band that said, you know, Bruce, you need to go back to Iron Maiden. And he's like, why? It's like, because the world needs an Iron Maiden. And he's like, you know what? I think you're right. So he contacted the guys, and they all met up at this bar, this pub. But they said they really went out of their way to go to somewhere where there would be nobody. So they went to like a golf. Oh my God, I'm losing my English. Place where people go play golf.
A golf course.
Jesus Christ. My God. They went to a golf course that had a bar there. So there was only them, the guys that were there in the bar. There was nobody else because they didn't want to run into fans and stuff like that. They just wanted to go have a private talk, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said that they started talking. It was just him and Steve Harris all by themselves. And the rest of the band was hanging out elsewhere in the bar. And he said, you know, basically they did not even talk about the past and why they, you know, what happened. They said, let's just talk about the future. What can we do to make Iron Maiden great again? And then he started laughing. He's like, I didn't mean to say it that way. So I apologize. But that's pretty much what happened. You know? But yeah, it's a great interview.
The meeting was almost over before it started. Holy shit. Yeah.
Right, so the new Bruce Dickinson book, is this the one that's called What Does This Button Do?
Yeah, exactly. And he explains why he called it that also.
All right. That's it. That's now on my Goodreads. It's on my list of stuff to read.
Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of cool stories in there. Jericho, he read it and he was talking about a few of the stories and he really enjoyed it. But Jericho's a huge Iron Maiden mark. So,
of course.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all I have. You know, work has been kicking my ass. And, that's why I'm barely coherent right now.
Oh, hey. There was a difference from any other week. I think.
A slight one.
I got one thing I want to add to my metal fix. I forgot.
Oh, okay.
So if you guys remember last week, not only was I talking about the M word, just because I can, but...
Don't be shy. You can say it.
Also, no, it's funnier if I say the M word than you guys say it. Very funnier. This makes for good radio. But so... I talked about a band called Hobosexual. Right? Yes. Remember I mentioned them last week? Because, you know, Snowy brought up Disciple magazine, and I love that we all just now call it Disciple and nobody bats an eye. but so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check these out. So I pull them up on Spotify. Not what I expected at all. It sounds – it's almost like listening to some 70s Deep Purple.
Mm.
I was really expecting something a little grittier, and it took me by surprise. I need to go back and give it a second listen because I read the descriptions, but I was, you know, I'm listening to it. I'm like, still in my mind, I was just picturing it with like a heavier spin, and it really sounds, it really sounds like something like the 70s metal kind of stuff. Hmm. So yeah, it was interesting. And then also I checked out a band called Trappist. Have you guys heard of these guys?
Yeah. Just some shit off YouTube. But,
yeah, they've got like one single out called No Corporate Beer, because Trappist is a nod to the Trappist monks and the like beers like Chimay, if I'm pronouncing that right. But Trappist beer is some good shit, man. Good shit. But so yeah, I listened to the single. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll be interested to see what they put out for an album. But yeah, I forgot I wanted to add those two. But so Hobosexual, check them out. It's not what you're thinking.
I'm going to.
Yeah. Hobosexual, just the name to me makes me think of a punk band.
You know what? Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
It definitely, that'd be a great punk band name.
Yeah. Yeah. Or some porno grind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Power violence.
Yeah. You know, it'd be another good punk band name. I heard this on another podcast. I was absolutely dying when they said it. Food poisoning at the titty bar. And as soon as they said, like, that'd be a great band name. I'm like, oh my goodness, that should completely be a punk band somewhere.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Nice. Yeah, I can definitely see that a song title at the very least. And since we're kind of throwing that out, Jim Cornette does his Jim Cornette podcast, Experience Podcast. Mm-hmm. And he refers to Donald Trump as President Pigfucker.
Yes.
God.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
That is a grindcore band right there. Oh, my God. Patent pending. That's my band name. That's my band name, President Pigfucker, right there.
I mean, I think the real problem with this presidency is that nobody's been able to express their true feelings about how they feel about the president.
Not at all.
If he would just get it out and stop sugarcoating and beating around the bush, you know, we might be able to get out in the open and talk about things.
That's right. Oh. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, trust me, it's already started. Yeah, yeah. But we're going to cleanse our palate from all of that with a sample from that Wicked Iron Reagan Gatekeeper EP available shortly. This is the Mighty Gatekeeper. I don't think we've ever played them on this show yet. This is War Has Begun.
We'll be right back.
sometimes all it takes is just one song, that one little spark, you know, to start the whole fire. Tonight's creature feature is Cleveland's Destructor. And I don't know if you guys remember them back from the mid 80s or so. They kind of an indie band. They went along that whole wave with a variety of bands that no doubt you would be familiar with. Their debut record, Maximum Destruction, made a big impact within the metal underground, and it all came to my attention from one song, Pounding Evil, from the Speed Kills But Who's Dying Volume 2 record.
I love that title.
Which is a compilation that Metal Forces magazine put out with Under One Flag Records, and along with bands like Agent Steel, Razor, Bathory, Living Death, like from Sodom.
Jeez, all speed metal bands.
Yeah, Whiplash, Iron Angel, Onslaught, Anthrax's Gung Ho from Spreading the Disease, and Destructor was one of those bands, front row center. They really caught my attention. And unfortunately, it has taken this long to finally get Destructor on the show, but better late than never, especially considering everything that's going on in their camp. Their latest record, Decibel Casualties, making its way around the underground the past year, and it was an absolute perfect time to finally tap one Dave Overkill from the Mighty Destructor to come on. Like I said, it's been a long time coming. I'm sorry, Mr. Overkill. It's probably a band that, you know, we should have had on 5 years ago. Yeah, but it's just a matter of you can't have everyone on. But I think now is an opportune time to get us there with tonight's creature feature with Mr. Overkill. We're going to dip into their catalog a bit from the last record, Decibel Casualties. Here, check this out title. Check out this song title for an old school mid-80s metal band. This is Metal Till Death.
Heavy metal for life. Heavy list, I kind of want to start with perhaps probably the majority of our listeners are veterans that have been around, okay, shall we say, and would be probably most familiar with Destructor from, I don't want to say, you know, the quote-unquote the heyday, because you guys are still, you guys are still out and about and doing it and killing it. So, like,
thank you, I appreciate that. No, there is the golden years, there's no question, but you know, you have to look towards the future, and it's the younger bands that are leading the way, and the older bands, some of them still have it, and it's great to just be part of that, you know.
Right. So anyone that's kind of tuning in now, we're not doing this interview because, like, it's the big Destructor comeback. You guys just haven't really went away.
Yeah. Well, in the 90s, we took a little bit of a break between 92 and 98. Mm-hmm. And then we got back together again. But we've been going since, you know, 99. We've had a couple different lineup changes. We had Athanar. It was in Midnight. He was our bass player for 10 years, Jamie, and great guy. He helped write a lot of songs, and we did so many awesome things together. And now with a different lineup, just had Nick in the band for at least 5 years now, and Nick Annihilator on guitar and Tim Hammer on the bass. And we just released Decibel Casualties. We're doing some shows for that this year, and we're getting ready to record another one. So things are good.
Already? Right on. That was, see, I wasn't 100% about what was going to be going on in Destructor's 2018, shall we say. Like do you right. do you have like a lot of songs in the can ready to go and all that? Because yeah, like,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
Casualties is just it's what, not even a year old now.
No, it came out in early summer of 2017. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've been a functioning band for quite some time now, and we've accumulated a really good lot of songs. We're going to start recording those. And, you know, we have at least a record to go. And I've been doing my solo project as well called Vulgar Devils. And we recorded a record on Pure Rock Records. It came out 2016, I think, in December. And we're getting ready to record another one soon as well. So, been busy.
Right on. That's good to hear. With the name, like, what's been the response for Decibel Casualties been like from the audience and reviews and all that? Because, like I said, we're probably introducing you guys to, or reintroducing you guys to a whole new audience here.
Yeah, there's no question about that. The songs really are just an extension of where we were when we were younger. I've always had tons of riffs, and there's never been any shortage of them. There's been more hurdles in our career of obstacles and whatnot than lack of riffs. So we have another couple records, and we're going to release some oddities as well. Old rare stuff, demos, and some live recordings and stuff, just to throw a little bit of unusual stuff out there in between everything.
Right on. Good. You're definitely keeping busy. With Decibel Casualties, I believe that's record number 2 with Pure Steel.
It is, yeah.
Believe, yeah. How did that come about? Like, did they call you, or did you call them, or...
It was sort of a mutual thing. The guitar player who plays with Destructor, Nick Annihilator, he also fronts the band Wretch. And they already had a deal with Pure Steel. And him and I had a lot of talks about, you know, which way to go and what should we do with Destructor. I initially approached them over the Vulgar Devils, and I wanted them to release my solo effort. And then, of course, the topic of Destructor came up, and they said, well, what about Destructor? And I said, I'm currently without a record deal. Why don't we talk? So we ended up releasing Back in Bondage, and that record was recorded in 2001, and it's a collection of songs written between 1986 and 1987. And that was the first thing that we did with Pure Steel Records.
Right. Okay. I didn't think those songs dated back. And that's awesome how you kept them alive and there was still a demand for them as well. I'm actually kind of curious. Well, sorry?
I was going to say that was, for Destructor, that was an unfinished period. And we had so many songs from that era that we never got to record because of the tragedy of Dave Ianica being murdered. And so one of the first things that we said when we got back together is we have to take care of the stuff in the past. And, you know, those songs that never came to light, let's record them, let's get them out. And that was mission number one.
Okay. Right on. Well, so far, so good. But you're from the Cleveland area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Born and bred.
Now. Right on. Right on. Yeah. Hello,
don't
Cleveland.
Hold it against me.
No. That's definitely a place that I want to visit. And for one of those reasons, that's the home of Hell's Headbangers.
It is.
And
yes.
I just want to throw it out to you. It's like, as great of a record as Pure Steel is, how come you're not on Hell's Headbangers, man? Those are good friends of ours.
That's a good question, Snowy. Can't really talk about that right now, but I am good friends with those guys, and I'm actually working on Heavy Metal Relics with Craig Horrible. Mm-hmm. We moved that studio into my basement. And we're going to start recording all of the videos for that YouTube program on site here. And we're going to have a host of some ridiculous people coming in and contributing. So that ought to be a lot of fun.
Oh, right on. Yeah, yes. I put Heavy Metal Relics over big time. I've had Craig Reaper. I've had him on with Crucified Mortals. I've had Bridget on talking about the show and all that. And yes, I just, the last episode, okay, I had mentioned how you were on Heavy Metal Relics, and it was an awesome episode.
Yeah, thank you. So,
yeah.
There's going to be a couple more. The schedule is you try to shoot like 3 or 5 episodes in a day when you can take advantage of the shooting time. So we did a few that day, but it was nice to be able to do that and also start working with and Craig and Brittany, the Reaper.
All right. Right on. Yes, I'm totally looking forward to it. Yeah. That was actually when the first episode of that came out. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Cleveland has so many great bands. Like, they have to get Destructor on one of these days. And, well, one of these
long
days
time ago,
now.
It was in 2007, I think it was, we did the split with Nunslaughter. It came out on Pure Steel. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It was 4 different copies that all made a pentagram bullet belt. The design of it was really sweet that they did it, Hell's Headbangers, for that.
Yeah, we've had Dawn of the Dead on as well.
Yeah, so. I love Don. He was a great friend of mine.
Oh, awesome. He's a fantastic guy. Speaking about really fantastic guys on Hell's Headbangers, and you mentioned him earlier, but you, Athanar from Midnight, we've actually had him on last year as well, and he's like, that band has taken off.
It's amazing. You
know, yeah.
One day, Jamie came to the basement at a Destructor practice. And he's like, I have this idea. I'm going to throw together this, like, black metal band and do this stuff. And I'm going to have, like, a burning cross on the stage. And he started making these songs. And Jamie is the kind of guy that, as everybody probably knows by now, or Athanar, that he has no shortage of riffs and ideas. And he came up with Midnight, and he worked really, really hard at it for a long time. But it's taken off unbelievably now, and it's great to see. It really is.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Been a fan of Midnight for a while now. Where did you first meet Athanar?
When I first met Athanar, you mean Jamie Walters? Met him. the first time was probably around, it might have been earlier, but I think it was around 2000, 2001. And he was in the band Boulder. And that was his thing at the time. And we were looking for a bass player, and a couple of friends suggested, hey, you know, this guy Jamie, he loves Destructor. He'd love to come out and jam with you guys. So, and he did. We wrote Sonic Bullet and some other songs together, and that was the beginning. And Jamie played with us for easy 10 years. He got to the point where Midnight is doing so well, he can't really concentrate on so many things at one time, and he wanted to do Midnight full time, which we respect. And that's where the history goes. But yeah, 10 years with Jamie, and he's a great guy and an awesome songwriter.
Oh, for sure, for sure. How about a Midnight Destructor tour?
That would be awesome. I think that would be great. I'm sure Athanar would agree to that. I guess the circumstances would have to be right, but that would be a riot. You know, we're all great friends, everybody in that band. In fact, Vanek from Midnight has played a couple shows with Destructor, helping us out when Nick was unable to do a show. So it's almost interchangeable. It's crazy.
When you think of metal scenes and all that, yeah, everyone immediately thinks New York, L.A., London, and all that. Cleveland might not necessarily, to the uninitiated, it might not necessarily just immediately jump out, but just with everything that's going on there and with the amazing bands that have come out, not just in the last 10 years, but just in general, like what's the scene like there now? And maybe as compared to when like your first record came out, is it much the same? How has it changed?
That's an interesting question. I mean, everybody probably thinks, you know, the city they live in is unique in some way. Cleveland has always had a strong radio presence with college radios. There's a number of colleges around town, and they always had heavy metal shows, and there was always an outlet for people to listen to back then, if you want to call alternative music. It was, you know, before that ever happened, but that and jazz and heavy metal and whatever. And so these radio shows played all of this kind of music in Cleveland, and it offered the opportunity for a lot of people to be exposed to this kind of stuff. And it seemed to spread. There was a lot of bands coming out, and there were probably a lot of, even five times as many coming out in New York. But our scene was definitely unique. There was only one Cleveland metal scene back in the day, and to be part of it was something special with all the other bands. You know, like Black Death, Breaker, Shock Paris, Wretch just beginning. You have Purgatory. So many great memories of those days. And the scene nowadays is not unlike that. I mean, there's still a fair amount of camaraderie. It's hard to get good shows sometimes because of the clubs. You have the pay-to-play now and some of these other things. But for the most part, it's still a really great scene, and it's a great place to come and hang out, and the bands are all friendly with each other, and the crowd, it's still it's not too big, but just big enough, you know what I mean?
I kind of liken it to the Winnipeg metal scene. That's where I'm up here. I'm up in the middle of the frozen tundra in the middle of Canada. Like we don't have the biggest scene, but we have a very strong scene for our population, and we got some kick-ass
promoters
and a lot of great bands and all that. So, yeah, I think in a lot of ways I can really relate to the Cleveland scene. That's fantastic.
Canada is full of little pockets like that, and it's been a great breeding ground for a lot of bands. You know, a lot of people talk about New York, LA or whatever, but you know, some of my favorite bands of all time have come from Canada, quite honestly. So,
I got to hear some names. I gotta hear some names now.
Well, of course I'm going to see Rush, you know.
Of course, yeah.
there was a lot of the stuff, Elda Nova, certain things that came out in the late 70s or early 80s that had an impact on me. And the first Anvil record came out. I bought that sucker. Seen Exciter play here in Cleveland on their first tour with Shock Paris opening up in the basement of the Agora. And there was, you know, 50, 60, maybe 100 people or something. It was the early stages of the scene, but it was so cool to see these guys because I had bought the first Exciter record and I loved that one as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Right on, right on. I got to say, you get extra dude points for name dropping Aldo Nova. When I sat down for this interview, I did not think that name was going to come up. That's fantastic. Yeah. Extra points, my friend. Extra points.
All right. Nice. Good to know.
Sure. With all of that, and like Destructor is, you know, you still play out. You guys are still giving her. What's a Destructor crowd like in 2018 now? Like, are you getting a lot of the same fans that maybe first discovered you in the mid 80s now, or are you playing to a whole new group of quote unquote kids, or like what you see from the stage, can you describe what you're seeing?
Yeah, definitely. It's a mixture for sure. I mean, there's always younger people in the crowd that, it's so good to see. And it's like, wow, they get it. They're into this. And then there's the older people, and a lot of them I've either met or seen or I know of through social media, whatever, and it kind of brings it all, like, close together. But what the fuck were we talking about?
Yeah, the Destructor audience in 2018.
Oh, what the audience is like. No, it's a mixture, and you find a lot of encouragement, like, all right, man, I see the next generation of young headbangers and these young people. They got the vests on and the patches, and they're coming over and buying the merchandise. And, you know, it's like the torch keeps on getting passed. So it's encouraging. And especially when you go, for us, to other cities, they're way more enthusiastic than sometimes when we come back to our hometown. It's like, well, those local guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to play a crowd that you've never played for before that really are into the music, and you see them like singing and headbanging and stuff, it's like a really good feeling, and it makes you realize, you know what, all the stuff that I've been doing is for a good reason, and this is why we're still at it.
Right on. That's so good to hear. When you said Destructor, those local guys, that kind of like, whoa, because I could never imagine those words together. Because like when I first discovered Destructor, I guess that's what it's like there. But, you know, everywhere else, like I first discovered you guys from, I was in my teens when the Speed Kills, but Who's Dying, Volume 2 came out?
Oh, Speed Kills, Volume 2, yeah.
Yeah,
Sodom was on there. There was a bunch of interesting bands at the time that all contributed to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I should have pulled that record out before I sat down. But, like, there's you guys and Iron Angel and Whiplash.
Old
Sodom. And it's like, wow. Yeah, I was totally blown away, and it's like Pounding Evil is just, you know.
We did a special version of that song that was different than the record, and we did a backwards message at the beginning of it, which we thought would be really funny, and that's actually a really cool record. That was like the second thing, I think, that came out that was an actual, like, European release as opposed to something that was put out by Auburn Records stateside.
Yeah. Metal Forces magazine put this record out.
That was
fantastic. I discovered a lot of great bands with those records.
It was awesome back in the day when those kind of sampler records came out, and for instance, you know, the Metal for Mothers or some of this other stuff, and you got a glimpse of these bands, and now 30 years later or something, you're looking back and going, wow, look at where they've gone and where music has changed. It's always interesting to me to reflect back on that sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I think, and we've said this on the show many times because my co-hosts are our age as well.
Oh, they're old too.
they're old farts too. Yeah. Well, the new generation just doesn't get, you know, the magic and the mystery that we had going into the record store and maybe, you know, taking the chance on a wicked new band and all that just because there was a kick-ass review in Metal Forces magazine or something and all that. And it just,
or you picked them up and the cover ruled. You're like, oh, yeah, this has got to be great. And, you know, I'm going to take a 50-50 chance here and get home, and this may suck, but I'm throwing my money down right now because this looks awesome.
Yeah, right. Look, it's on Metal Blade or it's on Banzai up here in Canada or something, you know, like it's got to be good if they like it and all that.
Right.
I think that's kind of lost on the kids.
It's in a different age, you know, with the technology. Yeah. It's our friend. Sometimes it's our enemy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Without the technology, I wouldn't have a voice. We wouldn't be doing this right now, but there's other ways where I just want to.
I agree. Use it how you can.
For sure. And finally, we're going to wrap this up, but I'm kind of going to want to get your thoughts on this. That like I said, I just saw you on the latest the latest Heavy Metal Relics. And I recall you had a battle vest on.
Is that what they call them nowadays? A battle vest?
Yeah, a battle vest with the, you know, with the patches.
It's a motorcycle jacket with the sleeves cut off, and I put studs on it.
Oh, okay. Well, do you get like now? Because, like I said, we're world farts now, and do you ever get people saying to you, like, Dave, it's time to grow up? You know what I mean?
No.
you don't get that like parents. From the non-believers? Because sometimes I get that. I'll have, like, just the normies say to me, Snowy, like, how can you listen to this crap? Why do you do a metal show? Why don't you do something else? Why don't you grow up and all that?
So, you know, the answer to that, Snowy, is people like us, we do it out of love. It's in our blood. We can't do anything else. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a good job. I manage a plant here for seafood and stuff, and I'm glad I'm employed and have the opportunity to still make music. But in a lot of ways, you know, we're productive citizens, and we have the dark side where we go into the basement and we crank the Slayer and we crack the beer and we start thrashing and smashing lawn furniture. So it's okay.
It's what I call two different worlds. There's the real world, which is money, bills, job, all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And then there's the fun world, which is going to shows with other metalheads and doing this show. That's fun world. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But that's kind of got me thinking, though, and you mentioned your day job. Like, is anyone impressed that they work with Dave Overkill from Destructor?
My owners. The owners of the company are the only ones. Everybody else is like, who cares? But they're always like, yeah, you know, can I buy one of those new T-shirts? Or, you know, last question was, is the show clean enough to bring my kids to? So, and actually, you know, people from this business and the restaurant business, they're no strangers to, you know, loud music and rock and roll and foul language and beer drinking. So it shouldn't be that unruly, but...
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. joined the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Another one off the bucket list. Thank you, everyone involved in getting that going. And if you're an old schooler and you might remember Destructor from back in the day and all that, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that, seeing their record on the shelves and all that. They're still around, they're still going strong, and as you can see, Mr. Overkill's got a lot to say, and there's a big future, an illustrious past and an amazing future ahead of them. So check it out. Thank you everyone involved, and we're going to be watching them a lot closer, shall we say. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I think this thing is just a thing because, we weren't able to talk about this last episode. It was kind of like the way we do things on the show, like we'll record something and then right after we press stop, the fit hits the shan. And one of those things was the charges of the gang rape assault, sexual assault charges against Polish Deathsters Decapitated were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Now they were not found innocent. They were not found guilty. The Spokane District Attorney, or whatever it is, you know, that you want to call them, they just dropped the charges due to the well-being of the victim. Now,
and they did it with prejudice, right?
Right. And what that means is that they can visit these charges again in the future, yeah, if for
they,
any
they
reason
can be charged. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't like this because if they were innocent, they're going to still have that stigma of them, that they were never found innocent. So we don't really know if they're rapists or not, and we don't know if we want to support them. Mm. Now, because they weren't found guilty as well, are rapists getting off scot-free? You know what I mean? And it's not good. I'm sure Decapitated fans, and I know that, you know, I've had some communication with some women on the interwebs that, you know, maybe, I don't know if you want to call them feminist, or maybe they have a leaning towards being a social justice warrior or whatever, but they've been going on about how, and it's male, they've all been male, they've been like being rather celebratory about it over the internet. And I'm like, ah, come on, guys. I don't think that's right because you're like, you know, it's like, yeah, our boys got away with it if they did it, you know? And it's like, you know what I mean?
It's excellent. I'm reading the article again, Snowy, and it's just rough, you know, because they talk in here about that there was new evidence that came to light, which they're saying is influencing dropping the charges. But not to say that there are not good lawyers out there, but the goal of any lawyer is to win whatever their side of the case is. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we are never going to really know unless this will go to trial.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, like, I completely agree with you. Like, because it's just like, man, dude, like, you know, because I mean, obviously nobody wants to believe that this happened, but we also don't want anything to happen to the victim, you know. And so it's just like, oh my goodness, man, you know. And I mean, with everything that's been coming out with, you know, the casting couch stories, and I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, Weinstein.
Yeah, but just all these stories keep coming to light, you know, and all the sort of stuff. People are finally coming forward. So is this, you know, another example of where somebody tried to come forward and then was silenced, you know, and that worries me. You know, is this woman going to have to live with this? You know, and like, what's the long-term damage on her if that's the case? Because, again, we don't know. Everything we talk about right now is speculation, you know?
Right. And it's all going to be, but I'm kind of bothered by the well-being of the victim reason. And that's an actual quote, because I'm sorry, bad things have to happen. Or no, they don't have to, but bad things happen. And when they do, like, you have to step up, you know, like, you have to be a witness. You have to say, look, this was done to me. And when it's almost like the lawyer is saying, like, we just don't have enough to convict them. So we're just going to go with this. You know what, yeah. I mean? And it's just, and it's rough. It's rough. It is right down to he said, she said, and you just can't convict on that, you know, and the credibility of the witness was also taken into account as well. Apparently she had lied to the police in the past and all that, but I'm sorry, this is a whole new ball game when something like this allegedly happens.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, yeah, it's tough. If they didn't do it, you know, then they're not, you know, then they're stuck. They're stuck with that stigma of being, well, they could have done it. And if they did it, well, then we all lose because, you know, rapists are basically getting off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I think regardless, the band is over.
Unless they
wait 5-10 years and then come back, then maybe people will start, will listen to them again. But I don't know. There's always going to be that stigma in the back.
It's definitely going to be a while. It's definitely going to be a while. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they go on to play in other bands, that stigma is going to follow them for a while. You know, there's always going to be the smart ass journalist who's going to want to bring it up, who's going to want to go for the dirt, you know? And the thing is, like, there's two schools of thought, because we don't know. So it's like, if they're in another band, do you let it go? Because, you know, here's what happened. Here's legally what happened. Or do you dig? Because we don't know the story. You know, do you try to get them to say things and see, like, you know, is it rehearsed? Are they tripping up? You know, because the thing is, like, if somebody's telling the truth never changes. But if somebody is not telling the truth, well, then they have to remember exactly what they said, or they start to, you know, incriminate themselves.
True.
You know what
I mean?
That's
true. So, that's true, too. Yeah. I don't think they're ever going to be able to do another interview without this coming up, which kind of now begs the question. You guys will remember a little while back, we had an episode that we called the Varg Effect, where it's like,
yeah,
can we separate artists from, you know, from the music? Okay, nothing is resolved here. This band goes on tour. You know, they come through one of our towns and all that. Are we going to feature Decapitated?
You mean as a podcast?
Yeah, like, are we going to have them on the show?
I don't think so.
Aaron, what do you think?
So I'm torn, you know, because here's the deal. I absolutely believe that, you know, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. That's the whole point of the judicial system and all that sort of thing. This is just, it's so cloudy on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so cloudy. Cause I mean, like, even reading some of the things that happened on the defendant side with her, you know, her friend getting pulled over for drunk driving and, you know, telling the officers what she was trying to do and all those sort of things. And just, so who, man, who knows, you know?
Yeah. It's a weird story, that's for sure. But
yeah.
Me personally, I would say no, because I'm not a fan anyway. So I wouldn't care. So
if this would have, like, I don't think I have any decapitated albums. Like, I'm kind of at the point now where I'm not even 100% sure. Like, when I'm in a secondhand record store and I'm going through a bunch of CDs, it's like, oh, right on. Oh, wait a minute. I'd better double check.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not even 100% sure if I have any decapitated or not. But if this wouldn't have gone down, then at some point, yes, decapitated would have been on the show. But now,
I'm surprised we've never had him on.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, well. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Unfortunately, there's a whole whack of other stuff that I think we should mention before we get on this. I know we're going into extra innings here, but hasn't been a good week. Has not been a good week. Like, first of all, legendary producer Chris Tsangreads. God, I hope I'm pronouncing that
right. I think you are. Anyways.
Okay, because you know what? This gentleman, okay, I'm sure both of us have about a dozen of his records in our collection. And I've been seeing that name in magazines for the last 30 fucking years or whatever. You know, it, like, the pedigree is just amazing. He's done records by Ozzy. He did the Painkiller record. He's done Sabbath, Anvil, King Diamond, Exodus, Girl School, Halloween, Loudness, Magnum, Overkill, Praying Mantis, the fucking London Choir Boys, yeah. Tokyo Blade, yeah, Thin Lizzy, Y&T, just a whole myriad.
And that's all the hard rock bands. Metal stuff. I mean, he's done tons of other shit that, you know, you'd be like, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I kind of floored Mrs. White with that one. I told her, I said, I got some bad news here, but the producer, like, Painkiller is one of her favorite records of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the producer of that record passed away, but she was a big fan of the pop singer Samantha Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we first started dating and all that.
Yep.
He produced one of her records as well. So
he's worked with Tom Jones.
Holy jeez, not Tom Jones.
Yeah,
that's not unusual.
Killing Joke. Yeah. Shit.
Thank you, Snowy. Thank you.
I'm looking here. He worked with Bruce Dickinson, his solo stuff.
Yeah,
we were just talking about Dickinson.
They did Balls to Picasso, right?
I don't know exactly which one, but I mean, he worked with Gary Moore. He's worked with Mountain, of all people. Remember Mountain?
Leslie West.
West.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a rock goddess. Oh my God, rock goddess? Didn't they put out like one album? Holy shit.
Uh-huh.
I remember them from, weren't they on Bonzai?
No, but they were still, they were kind of in through the outdoor, but yet. Here we are in 2018, and we're talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thin Lizzy, wow. Tigers of Pan Tang, yeah. Wow, man.
Yeah,
Tragically Hip, wow.
Yeah, he produced the Hip for sure.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, he was definitely a legend in his. I think our friends at Focus on Metal had him on their show one time.
Oh wow!
I believe they've had him on. I believe they've had him on, so yeah.
Good. Well, maybe they can get the name properly pronounced.
Yeah.
If I'm not getting it. Yeah, I know they will.
Yeah.
They're much better at this shit than I am.
Better than you, for sure.
A couple days after that, it was announced that Baby Metal guitarist Mikio Fujioka had I'm a little better with the Japanese name because I'm a wrestling fan. So
I thought you were going to say I'm half Japanese.
Yeah, because I'm actually a half Oriental. I just never told you guys.
Well, no, because, you know, remember, he's also the reincarnation of Jimi Hendrix. So he's also half Asian. You know, come on.
There we are. Yeah. Well, a couple of days after losing Mr. Tsangreed's baby metal guitarist, Mikio Fujioka, passed away after a tragic accident, 36 years young.
Yeah, didn't he fall off some kind of balcony or something?
Yeah. Oh, I don't exactly remember exactly what it was. It was a freak accident.
Yeah, or they were like at a sightseeing or something, him and his wife, and he fell off like some kind of observation deck.
That's an observation deck.
So she didn't say if he was, you know, for all we know, he may have been drunk off his ass and that's why he fell off, but... You know, that's still tragic. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Then a couple of days after that, no, actually, I think the next day it was announced that ex-Sworn Enemy drummer Paul Antti-Ginnanni had passed away. He was with Sworn Enemy from 2002 and 2008, and this is the one that is going to hit us a little closer to home because Mr. Antti-Ginnanni was actually friends of this show, shall we say. So, yeah, when I found that out, I just, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's too bad. We've had Sworn Enemy on the band post Mr. Ginnanni, but...
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any easier to take in. And finally, the original Motorhead lineup, unfortunately, is now no more, as we lost Fast Eddie Clark just a couple days ago as we speak. After a bout of pneumonia, he was 67 years old. He was the guitarist in for all those classic records from 77 to 82, as you may recall. And then afterwards, what I will most remember Mr. Fast Eddie Clark for is one particular album with his band Fastway that he formed after leaving Motorhead, which of course, I've got this record memorized, which is the Trick or Treat soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
we wore that thing out, man.
Oh my God. We're going to wear it a little more because I'm going to go out. We're going to go out tonight on one of those tracks from that record. What was particularly tough to take about the passing of Mr. Clark was just earlier today, a meme had popped up on my Facebook timeline, and it was a picture of the Ace of Spades record with just the background, just the desert.
Oh, yeah.
Just to signify that we have now lost all three of them.
All original members, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of a shot in the gut and all that. But we are not here to cry in our beers about this. We are here. We are going to celebrate the man. And like I said, that is the reason why I am having some Lemmys on a Friday night in my Motorhead mug here is to not only Mr. Fast Eddie Clark, but to everyone that we mentioned on the show. Of course, our condolences go out to everyone that knew these people and that these people touched their lives and they touched ours. You know, you might have been from a distance, but they did nonetheless. I think that's it. I think we've gone in extra innings.
Real quick, you know, we were just talking about all these people that passed away, and in the back of my mind, I was thinking, have I seen Sworn Enemy? Seems like I've seen them. And what are the years that you say that he was in the band?
2002 to 2008.
Okay, well, I saw him live in 2003.
Oh, wow.
Right on.
In Tampa at the Masquerade. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought, I think, I'm pretty sure I've seen them. So, yeah, oh, wow, that's even sadder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hate when
it is.
Somebody I've seen and stuff. And
Yeah. And like I said, we've had Sworn Enemy on. Unfortunately, he was not in the band at the time. And we will have them on again. And perhaps the gentleman from Sworn Enemy will share, you know, some pleasant thoughts and memories of him when the time comes. We're on our way. Sorry to bring the party down, but, you know, I'm going to have a kick-ass weekend. So we're going to get on out of here. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. This has been a destructive episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine, and this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Metal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org or clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail, we want to hear from you. Call 321-80 Heavy or 321-804-3289. We will play it on the show. For suggestions and indie spotlight submissions, email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and Instagram Radioactive Metal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metalness, it's radioactive metal.